There's a bind many families face. The workday often finishes at 5 p.m., but school lets out as early as 2, which leaves caregivers scrambling for childcare after school. By one count from 2020, about 25 million kids across the country would be enrolled in an after-school program if there was space. Liz Boltaro is a family physician with 3 kids. She and her husband Ben were waitlisted for an after-school program in Durham, North Carolina, after they were told they had a confirmed spot for their kids. They hustled to find a solution.
We're both healthcare workers. We don't have the option to leave our job, you know, in the middle of the afternoon. We don't have flexible schedules. We pretty much have to be there, myself, until after 5. And my mom lives several hours away, and Ben's parents are out of state. So anyway, it just felt like for a while we were just trying to kind of piece it together from all options, none of which were ideal.
They managed to line up care, but they're already worried about next year. Liz and Ben's family are one of many trying to piece together a solution for after-school care. Rachel Cohen, senior policy reporter at Vox, is here to tell us more about the after-school afterthought. Rachel, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You spoke to Liz Boltaro as part of your reporting. What did their story tell you about the state of after-school care in the U.S.?
Durham first sort of came on my radar because they had over 700 children were on the wait list this summer. And while that's a pretty large number, but it's unfortunately not very unique across the country. There are so few spaces for parents and families and kids who need somewhere to go after school while parents are at work.
So this is a family with 2 working parents and probably of a decent income because they're both healthcare professionals. But I'm wondering, access to after-school programs, is it strictly a cost issue?
Cost is one of the biggest barriers to after-school. So this is definitely an issue that falls on low-income families in particular. But as you can see, even with the situation with Liz, it really falls on working families generally. And the thing that has happened, especially since the pandemic, is even if you are a family who could afford a babysitter or afford childcare, there are fewer people working in those jobs in so many communities around the country. What you're finding is there are families across the income spectrum, across the country, and all in urban and rural and suburban areas who, even if they could afford sort of alternative means, they can't even find care for those situations. Yeah.
So why is there a shortage of these after-school programs?
Well, so the jobs have always been difficult to fill. They're typically part-time. They're usually average about 4 hours a day. They usually don't come with benefits. You know, they're seasonal. So that can be difficult. But since the pandemic, it's gotten even harder. And program providers say in national surveys that staffing has really become a challenge at a level they're not used to. I spoke with a lot of providers for this story, people who've been in the field for a long time. They said it's never been this difficult before. They're trying all of these different incentives. They're trying to raise wages, offer retention bonuses, different things to sweeten the deal. But it's just, there are a lot of other options that workers have right now that can offer more hours at higher pay, often coming with benefits.
So beyond kids needing a safe place to stay after school while their parents are still working, what do we know about the benefits of after-school care for kids?
Yeah, so that's one of the also really great things about after-school. It's been studied for a long time. We have actually really good ideas about what can make a high-quality program. You know, there are academic benefits. It's a really great place for extra tutoring and academic mentorship. What they try to say about after school is it's not just an extended time in the classroom and it's not just unstructured playtime. Like, it's a real opportunity to give children and students opportunities that they would not normally get in their typical life. You know, all sorts of activities like robotics and theater and structured sports and all those kinds of enriching activities that are hard to get in a lot of other contexts.
Now, California, in your reporting, you found is a standout state. It's very different to the rest because it's made significant investments into the after-school system. How did they do it?
Yes, California really stands out. It started with activist leaders in the 1990s who said, we think this is something the state should step up on. So they organized at the state level. Then Arnold Schwarzenegger actually took it up as one of his biggest political issues. And he basically self-funded and pushed a ballot initiative in 2002. And now there's just organized groups that continue to work on building out universal after school in California. It's really amazing. They have really stepped up to say, this is something we can do for families and kids and communities, and we're going to put public money behind it.
So then it seems to me, is universal after school kind of the answer that we should be aiming towards nationwide?
It is, and it's something that we really can do. It's an opportunity to create good jobs, help working parents all over the country, and give millions of kids who need a spot to go a place to go.
That's Rachel Cohen, who's been covering why it's so hard for so many families to get after-school care for kids at Vox. Rachel, thank you.
Thank you.